Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Superhero Academy podcast, where we dissect what it takes to make everyday superheroes a reality in this world. Like, how are entrepreneurs and movement leaders and just the influencers really leading the charge on building the world that we know is possible in our hearts? How are we taking on the world's biggest challenges? And I believe that the best way to tackle the world's biggest challenges, to speak to so many people, is to speak through your heart, to speak through our love, essentially. And my next guest on this episode of the podcast is a really good friend of mine, somebody who I know and have hung out with personally, somebody who I've met on numerous occasions, and somebody who is just amplifying his message and voice through so many different mediums. And in fact, recently he just launched a book called Love Louder, and his name is Preston Smiles. He is an amazing dude who is the amazing videos that he creates, the inspiring words that he has to say, the wisdom that this young man has is beyond me. I honestly admire his everything. I just admire who he is as a whole, but also his consistency in kind of having a message that really proliferates and spreads love. And he lives it. You know, I can say that this isn't just a character that he embodies on camera, but this is really somebody who he is, and this is something that really shines through when you chat with him. So we had him as a guest on the podcast. So much fun. It was, you know, always happy to talk to him. And I also know his amazing wife to be, who's soon probably going to be getting married at this point, Alexi Panos, who has been a guest before on our podcast. So obviously, if you want to hear a little bit more about Alexi, you can go check out, you know, dive deep into this podcast. There are tons of episodes before this one, but obviously do take a moment to listen, to comment, to ask us questions, to subscribe, to rate, to all those things. And remember, anything that we mentioned in the podcast, all the links are in the description or in the show notes on Collective Evolution. So enjoy, and I'll see you on the flip side. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe anything is possible? Now let me ask you it differently. Do you believe you can achieve anything? Do you see a disconnect between these two statements, even for a moment? Let me tell you how I crossed that gap in one simple yet life-changing step. A few years ago, while hiking the Great Wall of China, I accomplished a dream of mine I had written down in an old journal some years back. Walking that wall felt like a giant checkmark in the scattered list of amazing things I have always wanted to achieve in my lifetime. What I realized in that moment was that I had a huge list in my mind, but I had no true action plan to making it my reality. And then it hit me. The simple step to achieving my dreams was that I needed to make the list of my dreams a conscious reality. In that moment of clarity, I sat down and wrote what I now call the impossible list. What I wrote on the impossible list are the dreams I am committed to seeing through in my lifetime. What you write on your impossible list will be the accomplishments you're remembered for forever. Sometimes life feels like a journey, a race of sorts, but it's strange how many of us run the marathon of our lives without knowing where the finish line is, let alone where some of the checkpoints might be along the way. So the question is, what do you want to see come to life in your journey? I'm challenging you to take the initiative to see your deepest passions come true. So what impossible challenges will you tackle and make your reality? Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and superheroes of the world. I am so excited to be talking to Mr. Preston Smiles. This man motivates the fuck out of me. And yes, we can swear on this podcast. No joke. This man is literally makes some of the best videos. Him and his fiance nowadays, yeah. Alexi Panos, are taking over. You guys are doing such a great job. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today.
For sure, man. Thank you. I'm super pumped. I like that intro.
Dude, I mean, look, you really are, you know, constantly using the hashtag loves voice, but you really do embody it. When, you know, when I talk to you, every interaction I've ever had with you, people have to know a little bit about Preston Smiles and where you're coming from, because I think, you know, I think it's one thing for us to see videos of what you're doing and all these different videos that you guys are putting out on Facebook and YouTube and all this crazy stuff, but tell me a little bit about your story. Like, who were you? How did you become Preston Smiles? How did you get into this? Like, where did Love's Voice come out of you? And where did, you know, the Love Mob and all these things that you're involved in, where did this all come from?
Yeah, man. Beautiful, beautiful. You know, I'm a grown man. I'm a grown ass man. So if I really told you the story, we'd be sitting here for like 10 days. but the Cliff's Notes version of it is I grew up in the middle of an identity crisis. And at a very early age, I was put into special education classes. And because of the time when I grew up, which I'm 35 right now. The public school system wasn't really into really figuring out what was up with people or calling them geniuses instead of calling them dummies. So they put me in a class with pretty much four mentally ill children. Like, what, you know, they were actually mentally ill. And wow. I made some assumptions about myself based on who I was in a class with. So I was no longer in the class with the regular kids and the smart kids, and I was now the dumb kid. So to make up for that, because we're all looking for acceptance, and my 9-year-old, 10-year-old self wanted to be accepted, to make up for that, I became like a Robin Hood. I got really good at sports, and then I would bully the bullies. So if they were, whoever the nerds were, if they were being bullied, I would bully the bully. So the nerds could... the nerds, whatever that is, could support me and help me out. And I just became this like Robin Hood of my neighborhood. And then eventually I joined a local gang and, you know, started doing things that I wouldn't say I'm proud of them. I'm glad I had the life I had, because I'm not guessing what people are going through, and I've been to, you know, the bottom in some sense. And I had a night where my friends asked me to come out and hang, like we always did. We'd hop in this blue Astro van my boy Rudy's parents gave him, and we would go, you know, drink, and they would smoke and just do stupid, like, dumb kid stuff. And this was the first night that intuition, I had this, like, the first time I really understood intuition. Intuition said, don't go. And I declined, and my boy was like, come on, man, don't be a beep. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm going to be a beep tonight. And we hung up the phone, man, and I never talked to my friend again. Like, every single person in that blue Astro van that I was in every other night was shot. And my best friend Scott was shot in the head and died immediately. And that was one of those defining catalyst moments that changed my life forever.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the beginning.
It's kind of like that turning point where that you hear of, like, where all of a sudden you're going down this path, and then there's this kind of this fork in the road, this pivot, where all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, do I have to keep doing this? And it's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, I asked you the question, what's your story and where did it start? And you could have picked at any point. You could have said, oh, this is where my entrepreneurial career started. This is where all these things started. But I love where you kind of picked up, because that tells me, and it allows us to see what fundamentally happened and where your story shifted. And I think it's so important to hear, because so many people out there in the world today, and I think you're enormously motivational at helping people do this, are living their story, right? They're going out and they're going to the job that they have, or they're going to the school that they go to, and they're partaking in the same, you know, groups of friends, and they watch the same sports teams that they always watch, and they've essentially built their story, and their story is kind of now their identity, right? And it's become this identity that they've taken on, whether it was imposed through, like, you know, their circumstance, whether they grew up in like a poor neighborhood or they grew up in the rich neighborhood, like all these things kind of create who we are. And yet when I hear things like Love's Voice, when I see your videos, when I kind of listen to what you're saying, what I'm really getting is you're kind of peeling back the layers of all of this stuff. It's like you're kind of poking behind the curtain and saying, hey, are we really like this? Like, do we really want to hate people? Do we really think that we're better because we're richer? Do we really think that we're more gangster because we're part of the East Side and they're part of the West Side or whatever? Do we feel this? Like, do we truly embody these things in our soul and inside of us, in our hearts, right? And I think what seems to come up, I guess, and through many trials and error of psychedelics in my own journey, I learned that really love is kind of everything, right? We only experience love in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes we experience it on the right side of the coin, right? Like the beautiful love that we feel for another person in our partner or something. Or sometimes we even experience it as like negative love, like hate, right? Like we feel something like, oh, this person's really awful at something and they did something really bad to me, so I hate them. And no matter what, we're experiencing that as what I would call ourselves. And so we're kind of more than our story sometimes. And yet our story still defines us. And I love that you were able to pivot in that story. I mean, how is somebody who is listening to this, who hears your story and says, wow, that's incredible. Maybe they don't know where that pivot is in their mind. How do you, how did you change? How did you decide, like, okay, that happened, but you could have still kept going. You could have chose to respond by going and being like the typical gang member and then going and taking your gun and going to shoot up the guys who shot up your boys. You know what I mean? So how did that make you pivot? How did that make you change? And how did you bridge between the two? You know what I mean?
Yes. So, I mean, you said a lot there. I want to rewind back a little bit and remind us all that those stories are not who we are. They're who we become based on the circumstances. Mm-hmm. And the key is to disidentify with the story, mm-hmm. right? So what supports me in this journey and what gets most people in trouble is the idea of what things are supposed to look like versus, you know, like, what's really there, right? So mm-hmm. a lot of our society deals at the top layer, at the surface of what's really happening. And mm-hmm. for me, my work is about dropping into the underbelly of it. And that's how I'm able to transmit and synthesize these universal truths, because it's stuff I go through and continue to override the ego mind system and drop into what's really there. Mm-hmm. I will say that I did take on a lot of that stuff early on, right? So the another part of the story is that I got so afraid, and I was driven by fear, and that fear, and here's one of the beautiful things I love that you said throughout your journeys through plant medicine, et cetera, mm-hmm. that love is all there is. Right, we're swimming in love, mm-hmm. and the confusion with a lot of entrepreneurs and people is that they're searching. They want to get high on good, right? They're looking for the next high. I want to always be good. Yeah. Oh, I gotta be good, mm-hmm. right? And the beauty and the freedom that I have is that I'm not attached to it being good, because good and bad are mental constructs. They're not truth with a capital T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, There's very few facts. There's very few truths with a capital T on our planet. Mm-hmm. And there's a freedom for me in not trying to get high on good all the time, right? Of just experiencing the experience called life and knowing that that is love in itself. Mm-hmm. I've seen people die in my arms, and I know that they don't give a fuck. They wouldn't care one way or the other if they had another problem as long as they were living. The living part is the part that matters. Mm-hmm. When you're about to take that last breath, the only thing that matters is love, and living is one more breath.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a freedom in the way I live because I'm not trapped by trying to get high on good all the time. Mm-hmm. I know that the thing is love. It's like we're swimming in it.
Absolutely. And we get caught up in the race towards that potential all the time, right? Because trying to chase good means that even if you got good, even if like your version of good right now is like, oh, I'm going to get that car, or I'm going to get that thing, anything material, but not even just the material, even though like I'm going to be accredited for this thing. It's like, yeah, all those things are great. Of course, they're accolades that, you know, you should be totally proud of course. But it's not necessarily, again, that what defines you. We have to recognize that it's a fruitless endeavor. It's like the endless to-do, right? The second you check off everything on your to-do list, well, guess what? There's still 10 items on it, you know what I mean? And then once you check off those 10, there's another 10, and it's just this fruitless endeavor that says there is no top of the mountain, right?
No.
There's only the journey. There's only this experience that we have every single day that we are just so fortunate and should be so grateful for experiencing in any way, shape, or form. And then beyond that, obviously, we are so lucky to have been born. Number one, we won the lottery and being born in the Western part of the world where we have such beautiful experiences. But here's the other thing is that the lottery is also being born in other parts of the world where you have been too, right? Like, you know, I know you were part of the EPIC Fellowship and kind of going out to Tanzania and kind of, you know, digging water wells. And the truth is that kids there who have so much less than we do and people there who have so much less than we do, quote unquote, also have so much more. They have things like community. They have things like their tribe. They have things like people coming together. They have the smiles on their face for having that one soccer ball that they can go and play with or whatever it is, that one thing that they appreciate. So it's all relevant to who you are and what you're experiencing. And I feel that when we let go of those expectations is actually when we can actually achieve more. It's ironic because when I let go of what I really want to achieve and I say, hey, I'm just going to take this one day at a time, one moment, one step, one micro instant at a time, and I'm always going to do it as me, not the label that people give me, but as me, the person who cares, the person who, you know, expresses via love, essentially, then now all of a sudden, actually all those things that I had written down, all those accolades that maybe I did want at one point, start to kind of manifest. They start to come to me versus me having to chase them. And it's kind of, it's so weird to say that, but it's so true.
Yeah, that's the law of least effort.
Mm.
You get in alignment. You know, one of the like ninja tools of goodness that I teach is called the double boomerang effect, where If you just focus on, because we only get to keep what we give away in this lifetime. Mm. So if you focus on giving, right? And let's think of it at like a boomerang, where if you throw a boomerang here, and you receive someone else's throw from here. So instead of focusing on trying to get, if you just focus on giving, you'll receive from somewhere where you never would have thought you would, you know? And that's the thing I'm hearing you say that you're living in, and it's beautiful, man. Like that's a fantastic flow to be in.
Absolutely, and it's totally true. And as much as we're gonna think that it's not true, like our own minds, like our like monkey brains are like no, take, and we have this kind of like this instinct to do that. But we also have the instinct to give. We also have the instinct to go out there and to give. And I think, beyond anybody who I've seen, like, look, there's a lot of entrepreneurs who I respect for having made some of the world's most incredible companies. They're super innovative. They're super this. But I'm not inspired by them as individuals. I'm inspired by them more as to, like, some of the beautiful things that they've brought in. And sometimes I'm inspired by them as individuals. But, man, when I see you, when I see your videos, when I kind of resonate with you, I'm like, look, this guy's going to be enormously successful in the accolades, but beyond that, this guy gets it. This guy understands that it's about more than that. And it's like we all die with you know, our money in our bank account and all that stuff matters not, like you said, in our last breath. All we want to do is continue living, and all we want to do is let people know that, hey, we love them, and hopefully everything's going to be okay, and just continue on without me and continue your stories, continue your journeys without me. Sure. We just want that to be expressed in its fullest. So it's just incredible that you've tapped into that at your age, and just more than tapped into it. Now you're spreading it, and I think that's what it seems like. The love mob and all these things is you're reminding people to love. You're reminding people to spread, to give, to do all those things. I mean, you know, talk to us a little bit about that. Talk to us a little bit about what the love mob has been doing and how you're doing that, and you know, a little bit about why it's important that we continue to give, because I think people get that, but then they still say, well, I kind of need to take though, no? Like, I need to pay my bills. And so, you know, speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, one of the things I'd really like to also just bring to surface for all of us is that if our happiness is derived from if we're receiving, if we are happy for a reason, then the reason has our power, right? And that's a tricky thing to be playing in. But, like, you know, for those of us, and I assume anybody listening to the podcast is calling it an excellent life, right? Mm-hmm. If we want to live an excellent life, it's going to call for us to be self-generating, you know, to fill our own cups and give from the overflow from that space. It's one of the reasons why Alexi and I are both experiencing so much success is because I don't need it. I don't need it, right?
Yep.
Outside of the basic needs, I mean, if you have those, which most people, anybody probably listening to this podcast does have.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Outside of that, like, if you have that and you have love, you're a wealthy man or woman. And what we appreciate appreciates. So when I play these you know, mind heart games with myself, where I literally am just grateful for nothing and for everything, and like that does something to you cellularly. You know, I put myself in a state daily. And then that becomes a new normal. And then I end up vibrating so high that people ask me what I'm on. And I say I'm on love, right? That's the game. That's the game that we all get to play.
Absolutely. It's funny because we think that energy is like this thing that is finite, right? We treat energy as saying like, oh, this is the amount of energy I have and I can choose to use it in this way. And that's kind of not true. In fact, we are so abundant. We can create that overflow constantly by channeling it and saying, hey, no, I am super energetic right now. No matter how I feel, no matter how tired I am, if you can change your mindset, then you change your body. You start, your blood starts flowing differently. Your chemistry, everything starts moving and flowing in a different way. And you see this even with plants, right? Like they did these experiments with, and I think they did it with rice at one point too, that like they put rice in one jar and label it with love, put rice in one jar and label it with hate. And then they like spread love and give love and attention to these plants and rice and things. And then they give love and they give like hate and things to the rice. And then they compare the two and which one fucking thrived, which one didn't. Literally the chemistry of the rice, the chemistry of the plants, like, that plant decayed, it like died, and the rice was like turning brown and disgusting and moldy. And then the other one was like still okay, sure. And the plant was thriving. And it's like, we forget that everything around us, everything around us is vibrating. It's life. It's alive. Even our planet, like we think the rock isn't alive. And I guess it's not breathing in the way that we think alive means, but it's alive. We're a part of this huge cosmos of crazy. Had no idea how we got here. I mean, there's many theories, of course, but the idea is everything around us is alive, and how we show up, and if we change our attitude towards it, if we channel our energy and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be positive, I choose to be positive, and in that choice, we reverberate that out.
Yes.
Right?
It's not happening to us. It's responding to us. That's the thing. The universe is responding to us. It is alive, awake, and aware. Mm-hmm. And it is us. And we are it. It's the illusion of separation is the game changer for everybody, man. Yeah. You know? So we get that we're not separate, and that everything that we are experiencing is an out picture of what we're experiencing on the inside. Mm-hmm. Then the dude who I have an issue with in Starbucks or whatever, wherever I'm at, is an out picture of what I'm actually experiencing on the inside of myself. There's no longer separation at that point.
Yeah.
It's what all the great masters, including Jesus, said, what you do to the least of my brothers, you also do to me. What he was saying is that we're connected. Mm-hmm. And what happens in Africa is happening right at this moment here. Mm-hmm. What's happening in India is happening here. And I think, this is a thought, this is my opinion, that we're sicker in the Western world than we are in you know, Africa and India. Yes, they don't have some of the basic needs, but man, those are some of the wealthiest people I've ever met in my life. And that's why I love going there, because I get to see it firsthand. They're embodying love. They're not, you know, 10 steps ahead of themselves or 10 steps in the past, which is where most people live. They are in the present, and they're grateful and thankful for what they do have, and that's a game changer.
That, I mean, you nailed it right there, which is so funny. But, like, you know, the fact that you and Alexi and Tenille are also kind of coming together and making, you know, giving well water to villages in Africa and Tanzania specifically, an epic. I'll link that below, by the way, to anybody listening. But the fact that you guys are going there and doing that and coming back with the realization that I would know you would have, of course, but coming back with the realization that's like, hey, I am, like, they are more fortunate than us in some ways. They have more than us in some ways. They are less sick than us in some ways.
Yes.
Because even though they might be suffering with, like, physical illnesses, right, because of, like, the lack of, like, clean water and access to, like, you know these hygienic methods that we have kind of set in the standards that do help health, for sure, in some way, shape, or form, without a doubt, they are more healthy than us in so many ways because they appreciate more than we do. We are constantly chasing that next thing, like the next, oh, I got this iPhone, but it's such a piece of shit. It's like, really? Yep. You have the you have more technology in your pocket, even if you have the original iPhone, than it took to go to the damn moon, and you're like, and here you are saying, I don't have the new iPhone 6S Plus or whatever. And it's like, whoa, like that, it's incredible how disconnected we got from that. And I love what you said back there, which is, and I really want to highlight that, which is anything you are experiencing when it comes to the negative emotion towards other people is in fact an internal emotion. Like when I'm angry and the way I say it is like, it's like life is lived in the mirror, right?
Yes.
Every time I am angry at somebody else and I'm yelling at somebody else, I should imagine a mirror in front of me because I'm really yelling at me. It's really yelling at how I would feel if I was that person, how I would project myself if I was carrying myself in that way. It's not to say that somebody else does something wrong that I can't be angry at them. But to some degree, it's because I'm angry because I wouldn't have done it that way, right?
Yes.
And to think, and a capital T truth, right, which is there is no right and wrong, right?
That's it.
It's kind of hard to say that there's a right and wrong. It's like, well, it's like we try and make these lines in the sand in our laws and our governance and all these things that say like, no, this is the right way. No, that's the right way. But there's no real right or wrong kind of way. It's just kind of, it's kind of perspective again. It's like, everyone has their own way, and we have to respect that, and we have to give that love to other people. And so it seems like Love Mob, these events that you guys put on, and some of these like just things that I've seen you guys do on YouTube and all this stuff, seems to kind of carry that message, right?
And for sure.
And what made you recognize that, hey, I'm the guy who carries this message. I'm the guy who's Preston smiles, who's going to show up with that smile and bring that to people. Because it's incredible, but like, you know, people think, oh, I have to get a job. I have to be an accountant, a lawyer, this, that, and the other. And yet you've made a job going around inspiring people, literally
that
making people
exists.
Smile. And make, yeah, it doesn't exist. Like you have the job that's like, whoa, I invented this. And the cool thing is that anybody can do this. And I know you teach these kind of stuff, but like what made you like, oh, I'm that guy. Like I have to do this now.
So this is one of the things I support my coaching clients with and people, even in the Bridge Method. Our 12-week online training program. Your complaint is your mission. So one of the reasons why I know that I'm the guy to do this is because A, I was super fucking American. Not that I'm calling American too bad or good or anything, but I was a very brainwashed kid for quite a while. And I was angry with the government. And once I figured it out that I had been bamboozled, then I was upset. That I had been eating McDonald's all my life. Then I was mad at my family and everybody else for the education system, for putting me in mentally ill class with these kids and making me feel stupid and less than. And I just got so upset, right? And then I realized that that wasn't doing anything but hurting me. And that my complaint was my mission. And it was time for me to step into those shoes and be the thing that I was asking for and be the reminder for people, because if I didn't know, like I got a book, something happened with my heart, right? I went to a cardiologist, they gave me some medicine, he asked me what I was eating, and I said, you know, food, you know, he's like, what does that look like? And I was like, you know, I drink beer, sloppy joes, you know, I said everything Americans do, you know, I drink milk, you know, I eat chicken every day, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, you know, just food. And he was like, that's not food. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not food. He's like, it's not food, young man. He's like, those things are chemical-based and they're GMOs. And I was like, what's a GMO? Like, what are you talking about right now? And I was pissed. And I went home and I dove down the rabbit hole. I watched Zeitgeist and a million other things, and I was pissed.
Yeah.
Right? But the beautiful thing is that now when I'm speaking, because if I didn't know that, you know how many other people don't at this very moment know
don't
that?
Know. Yeah.
That they've been tricked, that they've been bamboozled, that food is a business,
mm-hmm.
that almost everything is set up for them to fail and believe they're less than.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of me, you know, continuing to point the finger out, because that also, there is no other,
mm-hmm.
you know? So taking responsibility, voting with my dollars, and doing what I can from where I can is what I set out to do, and give a gift to people, because I wished that there was a me. I wish there was a me when I was going through what I was going through.
Yeah.
So now, obviously, that's the role I get to step into.
I think this is why I resonate with you so much. I mean, you mentioned Zeitgeist and all these things, being angry, all that stuff. I think it's totally normal. Anybody who's listening here right now, I want you to stop and think for 2 seconds about some of the things that anger you.
Mm.
Right? Some of the things that, like, get to you and you're like, and it might be more like external, right? Like or at least visibly you think it's external, aka government, New World Order, where money comes from, like whatever, all the tinfoil hat stuff, even though it's true or not true, it doesn't matter. The point is it's angering you, right? There's things out there. You learn these things, and as you learn them, it angers you. But the only way that we can affect this world in a positive way, the only way we can get towards sustainability, this word that governs my life, to me, is to think about what can I do. To me, the word sustainability is about long-term thinking. It's not about solar panels. It's not about gardening. It's not about permaculture or earthships or all these crazy things, which are super cool. Like, trust me, where Valhalla and all this stuff is all part of that, of course. But it's about long-term thinking for me, but beyond even me, back to the giving thing, for others. See, I wish I had learned all this stuff too. I was so disenfranchised what I would learned in school and all these things. And so I decided to start my own school called Superhero Academy, because I believe that we need more philanthropreneurs, right?
Yeah.
We need more ethospreneurs. We need more people out there doing things to make the world a better place. And I know that every single entrepreneur out there in Silicon Valley thinks that they're changing the world. But look, the next Angry Birds app isn't truly changing the world in the way that I'm talking about right now, okay? There's beauty in Angry Birds. There's beauty in freemium games. Don't get me wrong. We all play like some version of a game somehow, somewhere, right? Whether it be our cell phone or Xbox or whatever. But building that thing that we would have needed, building the school that I would have loved to attend, is exactly what I've done and what I'm doing and I continue to do, and is my life's work. And I know it's your life's work too. I know you and Alexi have come together, and beyond the Love Mob and what you guys are doing in Tanzania, you also created something called the Bridge Method, right? And so talk to me a little bit about your school. Talk to me a little bit about your teachings, because man, you've got some wisdom in you for sure. I know people are learning. I know people do not know all the things that I think they do. Like, you know, to me, GMOs and all this stuff is obvious, but it's obvious only now. I mean, if I really think back about it, like 5 years ago, I knew nothing about this, which is crazy. 5 years is nothing. Okay. So to remember that I knew nothing means that many, 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 many millions of people know nothing, and billions of people really. And so I know that you are teaching some of the things that allow people not only to kind of like learn, you know, and kind of increase their awareness, I would say, but also other stuff. And so talk to me a little bit about the Bridge Method. Talk to me a little bit about what you're doing and what you're, how you're tackling this now.
For sure, man.
Yeah.
I'll start with saying that if we are not thinking for ourselves, then someone is thinking for us, right? Or something is thinking for us. And I lived most of my life thinking that I was thinking for myself, but in reality, I was going along with the program that was set up for me out the gate, including going to college and getting a master's degree and doing all of these things that I thought would equate happiness and what I was supposed to do as a good American. Mm-hmm. So just starting out with that as the like platform. The Bridge Method is a 12-week online training program. It is our combined 10 years plus, 10 years each, which 20 years worth of wisdom, synthesized into everyday actionable steps, right? So it's 12 weeks of like challenges and videos and distinctions. You know, like a lot of people don't understand that the content in their life comes from the context that they hold as themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, you change the context, the content changes. And there's things like that. There's wounded self versus higher self. And we have all of this stuff that most people would not or do not get in college, nor in any other schooling throughout their lives. And most of our parents, you know, God bless them, did the best that they could, but they didn't know shit, right? Mm-hmm. Not in this way. And it's our time. And just throw out all the, like, you know, I want to change the world stuff. Dude, if you just want to, and it's okay. I preach selfishness. I think people should fill up their cups. They Absolutely. Should take care of them first, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So if you just want to have, if people want to have an excellent life, this is one way, not the only way. There's many, many ways. We don't claim ever to be the school of the century or anything like that. Nobody knows everything, you know?
Of course.
And all of us are smarter than one of us. So, you know, but I do know that this particular way has worked for me and Alexi and at least 400 people in our program right now. So, wow. What we will do, and I'll ask her, babe, Lexi, come here. I think we can offer you guys a discount. So I got to check with the boss first.
Hey, that's how it works.
Come here.
I'm eating chips right now.
That's okay. I got to check with the boss.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
I like the setup.
Yeah, it's a little bright right now because this light keeps turning towards me. But yeah, thank you. This is our setup in the architectural office. We partnered up with a group of architects and engineers to build, you know, these eco houses, and this is kind of the new classroom, slowly but surely, that is kind of developing itself. So it's nice. Yeah, it's getting there.
I love it. It's almost as good as your beard.
Oh, thank you.
So,
you know, Preston was just kind of talking a little bit about the bridge method and what you guys are doing there. You know, he was kind of going to ask you a little something. Apparently, he has to ask the boss.
I was going
to
say, can we offer them a discount?
Heck yeah. This is for your audience?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Good. Well, you kind of put me on the spot.
Yeah, she said no.
100%. family.thebridgemethod.org.
Ooh, amazing. Okay, that link, if you guys missed it, will be in the description, of course. All the show notes, all that stuff will be there. I mean, maybe Alexi, while you're here for a second, you know, talk to us a little bit about what the Bridge Method is to you and, like, how you came and, you know, were a part of this and how you made this kind of stuff happen.
Yeah, well, the Bridge Method is literally a culmination of 10 years of my learning and experience and 10 years of Preston's learning and experience. And we are both mad crazy scientists when it comes to life, and we want to explore and find the best things that work. Mm-hmm. And we've actually used everything that's in the Bridge Method for ourselves, and we continue to use it on a daily basis. And they're literally tools that you have in your back pocket for when life gets crazy. So a lot of programs are like, oh, you'll take this program and your life will just be amazing. No, your life is still going to be your life, and you just get to have the tools to show up powerfully to it. So that's what the Bridge Method is all about. We, like, poured all of our best stuff in there, and people who have been taking it have just had astounding results and are creating so much magic in their lives.
That's amazing. I mean, you know, if I have to, like, kind of from my perspective of, you know, things I've learned from both of you, it seems like what you're also focusing on and what you're not selling is, like, hey, we're going to fix all these big things in your life because this is the way that everyone needs to do it. Here's the secret. Like, this is what you need to do. Here's how it works. It seems like what you are inspiring is shifts within themselves, shifts, small things, right? Because it's the little things that make up the big things that we do. And I love to say that how we do anything is how we do everything, right?
Yep.
If I do the smallest thing, like, I used to, for example, just dive into a quick story. I used to never make my bed, ever. Like, this is very even recent. I used to not make my bed ever. And then I kept going out and saying, like, these things, like, oh, how I do anything is how I do everything. And yet, the first thing in the morning, like, one of the things that I wasn't doing was that I had this, like, messy environment in my bed, like, where I sleep, where I spend 8 hours or so, if I can, hopefully, of my day. And yet, I wasn't living up to that kind of that standard. And it's not to say that the bridge method is going to teach you to make your bed, but what it's going to do is teach you to change some of the small things, some of those big pieces that are actually found in little small habits, little small things that we do every single day that allow us to change. And I think it makes a lot of sense that you guys aren't saying, hey, you have to like build this business in this way, and here's how you make a sales page, and here's how you do these things. It's like, yeah, you can learn all that stuff, and that stuff is YouTubeable, and there's tons of classes out there that are good, and you can inform you on a whole lot of stuff, and we've learned a lot of this stuff, of course, too. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, it's like the true shift that says, I'm making a revolution of me. I'm making a revolution of my habits. I'm making the revolution between who I am now and who I want to be. And I guess that's the bridge that I see all the time when you guys say the bridge method. It's like between where I am right now and where I want to be tomorrow.
That's
and,
a tagline, dude.
And
that
every single day. Really? Seriously? Nailed it.
Well, the biggest thing is, and you touched on this, is people want results, different results in their life, in their relationship, in their career, with their money, with whatever it is. And mm-hmm. Preston and I, our philosophy is, guess who's at the center of any result of your life?
Mm. You.
So if the you that's showing up to your relationships, career, money, blah, 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 is not working well, all those areas of your life are not going to work well.
Absolutely.
So it's just a matter of like fine-tuning the instrument so that when you show up powerfully and you have access to the tools and all these things when your ego mind wants to come in and start trying to destroy what you've created. You've got this other thing that comes in and can go, oh, I've got awareness now. I've got tools and I know how to be with it. So
absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Beautiful. Well, you got my endorsement for sure. I've learned so much from your videos, learned so much. Like your videos going up online inspired me to step up and make my own videos and I really want to kind of congratulate you and also thank you very much for some of the messages that you guys have, speaking about things that are hard to talk about, touching on topics that are beyond the surface, that are really within, and allowing people to not only hear your voice, because I think, you know, people are associating, oh, they make videos, they make these things, they are speaking, you know, their opinion. But I think you guys are speaking capital T truth, as Preston said, when you guys talk about and hit upon topics that I think go beyond you and really resonate within that truth, really resonate within the space that says, I'm not going to mute myself anymore. I'm not going to hold back from my opinion because somebody else thinks that that's like the wrong opinion, or that somebody else thinks that maybe I should be quiet about these things. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think I do have to give both of you praise for saying, hey, I was muting myself too. And it's the most ironic thing ever, because I am literally a guy who runs a marketing company who has like a megaphone on it. And anybody who knows me knows I speak, knows I talk a lot. It was like I'm very passionate about a whole bunch of stuff. And yet, ironically, I was kind of muting myself in so many ways. And so I think it's very, very, very important to recognize that even the message beyond any one video that you guys have is you are encouraging people to speak up and to say what they have to say. And that's important.
100%. If you look at history, it's the voices that have changed history.
Mm-hmm.
Like people that have literally shifted the way humanity is with the world. Mm-hmm. It was their voice. Mm-hmm. All they did was they said something that created a ripple in the environment that literally changed the entire course of history. And we're living that right now. And with the internet, our voice matters more than ever. Like, what are we putting out online? Mm-hmm. Are we just putting out meaningless crap, or are we actually using our voice for good? And it's massive. Like, your voice matters and it makes a difference. And the voices in the past that have shifted everything are living right now. And we're going to look back 100 years from now and go, oh, wow, they moved something. They moved the needle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for, taking the time to, number one, join us on this quick podcast, of course.
Yeah,
and also for doing everything that you're doing. It's awesome. Thanks so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye. I want to point out the other thing that I think is very beautiful about both of you, and I think is very inspiring, and I think a lot of people struggle with, and maybe you have like some insight on this, Preston, which is consistency.
Yeah.
See, we talked a little bit about showing up, it's one thing to show up like from time to time. It's one thing to be like, hey, I'm standing up for what I believe in like today. But I think a lot of people, including myself sometimes, we focus, we kind of lose focus and we lose the consistency that allows us to be great. And I think both of you are masters at this in some respects, and I know you also have your own struggles in these respects. Talk to me a little bit about consistency. Talk to me about the struggle of that, because I know it's a struggle for everyone. But talk to me a little bit about how that's also changed your life, consistency.
Yes. So remember these words, center, circumference. I'm going to come back to that.
Sure.
Aristotle said that we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit.
Mm.
Right? So for me, I've made a lot of people. I've made service a part of my life. I've scheduled it into my life. Consistency is everything. You know, a lot of people are watching my videos and all of that stuff, and we have a lot of people's attention right now.
Of course.
And one of the things that everybody must understand is that success, whatever you deem that to be, and failure don't happen in one event. They happen consistently, morning and night and day. It happens on a consistent basis. Right? So we don't just land on failure, whatever that is, or land on success. You know, a part of what's happening for, through, and as me is based on the 5 years that I have dedicated myself when nobody was looking. You know, if you go back now, there's more views on my videos from back in the day. But if you go back, man, I was getting like 13 views on things, and I was still doing it every day. Why? Because it was coming from a space of service, right? Now, what I want to remind everybody to do and to remember is that if you're doing something and it's a tactic, it's like building a house on sand, right? So you got to get really clear about why you're doing something. A lot of people are making videos now because it's a tactic, because they want more money, because they want more eyes, they want more attention. And houses are really pretty on the sand.
Of course.
But let a storm come, and let's see if that house can stand.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why, and you know, I don't have millions of views or anything like that on each video, but like, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 people are tuning in. And one of the reasons why that is awesome, and also I could give a flying fuck, is because I'd be doing it if there was two people tuning in. And that's why more people are tuning in, because they can see through tactics. So I want everybody to get clear that whatever you're going to do, have it be, have your life, you know, your practices, because we are our practices, be the center of your life and not the circumference, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people go, well, I don't have enough time. I have too many emails, right? That their practices are off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they can make the time, then they'll meditate, then they'll post something, then they'll make a video. Well, for me, it's the exact opposite. It's the center of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm consistent, is because it's a part of it. It's already scheduled in. I'm literally 5 days a week for the last 3 years. I have posted 3 times a day.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I'm serious about this. And some of it is a selfish act because it feels good to give. It feels good.
And it's important that it feels good, of course. Like, that's why we should continue to do it, of course, too. It's
the most important thing on the planet is how you feel.
Of course.
At any given moment. So, some of it is selfish. But at the end of the day, you know, what I do for me, I do for everybody else. When I take care of me, I take care of you at the same time.
Yep.
And like, you know, I'm knocking two birds out with one stone by being of service from that space and doing my best to keep my ego out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, consistency trumps everything. Authenticity, like, let's just go even further.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are consistent, but they're consistently fake, right? And then there's people who will put out one or two things every couple months, but it drops right into the heart because you know for a fact that they mean it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can marry the two, then you're beast mode all day. Right, that's how you have your business, your life, and everything take off.
Mm-hmm.
Is if you marry the two, you're authentic. You're not pretending to be what you think it needs to be. I got in trouble doing that. I went to all these seminars and these different workshops, and they told me, "No one's going to buy love. You need to be a peak performance speaker.
Yeah.
You need leadership." Right, and I almost bought that lie.
Yeah.
And then I dropped back into my heart and said, what am I here for? Like, what's my why? My why is that love is all there is, was, and ever will be. Mm-hmm. And that's what I get to tell people about. Yep. I don't give a fuck about peak performance. It goes under there.
Yep.
But I'm not.
Those things come, right? Yes. And we spoke about this earlier. All those things come. Like, yep. Speak about what you want to speak about. Stop thinking about what's going to work. Right? Like, yes. And look, I've been in there too, right? I went to these seminars like Millionaire Mind, and they're talking to you, and they're using all these techniques and tactics like yes or yes. Do you feel this way? Yes or yes. Yes or yes. Yes or yes. And then do you want to buy my product? And they put up their hand and they just stand there and you're like, whoa. And here I am laughing. Like, I'm like, cause I know I read this stuff and I'm like, whoa, wait a second. That's crazy. That's magic right there. And that's powerful, but it's power being used in the way that is kind of like irresponsible sometimes, because it's telling people, hey, the only path is this path, and that's completely untrue, right? Like, yeah. as I learn more, I recognize that I know nothing, right? The more we know, the more we recognize we know nothing at all. But what I can tell you, what I do for sure know is that we have to be authentic.
Yes.
We have to be consistent.
Yeah.
And we have to stop doing it for other people, because as we were talking about earlier, this might be obvious to some people. As we were talking about earlier, when we are projecting out into the world, when we love, when we hate, when we anything out, it's actually what's being internalized in.
Yes. Right?
And as much as we think that what matters is that other people are paying attention, because that our service only matters if millions of people see it.
Yes.
What that is that we want to feel heard, right? We want to be accepted by other people. What we want to be is we're paying attention and we're doing these things to see if like this works or doesn't work or whatever it is. And I'll tell you what really works. What really works is that you just speak your truth. You unmute yourself, you get out there and you say what you believe and you do what you believe. Because it's one thing to say it, it's another to do it. And I think the combination between what you're saying out there in one way and then how you show up mm-hmm. is everything, right? Like how many superstars have we seen? They're like super perfect on camera, and then all of a sudden, like you like somehow meet them on a red carpet somewhere, and they're like a total dick and asshole, and you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, what happened there?
Yeah,
you're like, it's important for people to know that Preston is Preston when he is not on front of the camera, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
He is the same way. He acts and brings that same energy, and I can only hope that people feel the same way about me, of course. Yeah. But beyond even that, forget about hoping what other things think. Am I being that?
Yes.
Focus on yourself in that way. And that's not a selfish thing. It's not an ego thing. Like, yes, there is such thing as your ego and it can get in the way. Yes, there is such thing as like wanting and being too selfish or too greedy in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
But if you're greedy in helping other people, if you're greedy in being yourself, that's the best kind of greed you can have. Okay. Like, you're going to be greedy in something. You might as well be greedy in helping others and serving others. And
for sure.
There is no other way, in my opinion, to what I would call capital T truth success than mm-hmm. being yourself, than speaking your truth, than bringing that forward and letting that come out. And all those other things, all those material things that you might want, okay, are going to either melt away because you're going to recognize, wait a second, I don't really need that and I don't really want that, or they're just going to come to you. Because people are going to resonate with you. People are going to want to come to work with you. They're going to want to invite you places. They're going to say, hey, come to Australia because I know you're doing an event in Australia. Come to this thing. Come to that. Like, all these things are just going to resonate directly towards you. And it's amazing how we can make that happen. But it happens not only through our intentions, but our attention too.
Yes.
Right? And we have to put our attention to that. Yeah.
I'm going to add, because you are on fire. This is it's not our job to make it happen.
Mm.
It's our job to welcome it, to become the space for creativity, to become the space for love to use you, to become the space for romantic love to find you, right? That's our job, is to become the space for it.
Mm.
And like,
so
you're
wise.
100% correct. Once... You see, we only get in life what we give to life. And when we're in the space of gratitude and we're committed to personal growth and we're giving our gifts, then what happens is that all those other things are a byproduct. Mm-hmm. They're a side effect of living from an attitude of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I'm experiencing right now in my life. I look at someone like, you know, say what you will about Oprah. You know, she's been in service for so long that it just flies to her. Mm-hmm. Zig Ziglar said, you help enough people get what they want, you'll get, what, you know, some mm-hmm. quote about that, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And that's real talk. Like, it's totally exactly what I'm experiencing. And, you know, and it's perfect. Like, even Absolutely. If I wasn't, you know, like, all of it is freaking awesome. My whole thing is like, when I leave this planet, I want to know that there was no more gas in my tank. Mm-hmm. That I left it all out on the field, failing, falling, laughing, crying, and everything in between. You know, and I have to remind people all the time that it's not a matter of IQ. I'm dyslexic. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of I will. Right? Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Oh man, that hit me right there. That hit me right there for sure. I mean, if I can add to that, which is hard to add to, you know, for me recently, it's been coming up as the form of my job isn't to have a job at all, number one, and to kind of react to the world out there. Oh, Instagram did this, and Facebook now has this thing, and this is working that way. I can notice those things, and I do. And it's my job sometimes, quote unquote, to notice these things and help people. And I navigate through that, and I teach these things, like, you know, how to master Facebook. What can you do? What can you do to do this best? And what can you do to do that best? And I can tell you a lot about that. But I don't think my wisdom is found more so in that. I think for me, what resonates as wise within me, and maybe I'll let the audience be the judge or such, is that I've recognized that for the most part of my life, I was reacting. Mm. My entire life, I was going around reacting to the news, reacting to the things that I was learning in the documentaries, reacting to what somebody did to me, reacting to the fact that the car was almost hit me and I was like, oh, you cut me off or this or that or whatever. Yeah. I was reacting all the time. Yes. And when you're reacting, you can never truly be, because you're just responding to what is out there, but not what is here. Yes. And so I've been kind of focusing more and more and more and more and more and more energy into being and into acting. Uh-huh. Into acting, not acting as in like making happen, right? But acting as in like, I want to do this because I feel that it is important. My why is in this space. And I know that's not going to resonate with everyone. And normally I would have reacted badly. Ooh, that person didn't like this thing. Ooh. Now I start recognizing it's not about that reaction that I'm trying to get. I'm not making a video to get a reaction, even though it does fuel something. Like, I see it, right? I respond to a comment. Like, I'm a human. I can see it. But it's not why I make the video. I make the video because I want to act based on something. I want to say something that is important to me. And if it's important to me, chances are it's important to other people.
Yeah.
Right? And in that lesson, I've recognized that I can get rid of this thing that says I need to be a star. I need to be the best. I need to have the most amount of something or anything. And what I only need to be the best at is the best at being me. The most authentic, the most real, and the most sometimes like, you know, fuck you attitude, the most like I love you attitude. Sometimes you gotta spread all of it, right? And what I want people to understand is that when we talk about love, and I want to get back to what I said about love earlier, love is felt on both sides of the coin, right? Mm-hmm. Preston, I know you have bad days. I know I have bad days. I know I feel anger sometimes, and I know I feel love other times, and it's about experiencing and acting within all of those experiences, not just in the highlight reel that we see of other people, right? Like, and I think knowing, okay, because I think some people who listen to this are like, well, where do I start, right? And I want to end with that. Where do I start? Yeah. What do I do to change me? What do I do to bridge between where I am and where I want to be? And I want to leave that with you and then kind of let you tell us about more, where we can find some more information and that kind of stuff. But where do people start? Where, like, somebody who's listening to this, their heart's exploding. now what do they do?
Yeah. You know, it's a journey. So I'd start with understanding that it's not about years down the line. Like, I'm all for people having visions and, like, gigantic mm-hmm. dreams. I have one. I have many of them.
Of course.
But one of the reasons why I've been able to, you know, and this is no judgment towards anybody who does, but I haven't, you know, drank alcohol in 5 years. And it's because I didn't quit. I just don't choose it. I just don't choose it. So awareness, having an awareness that you have a choice is the first place to start. From there, asking the question, do I choose this all over your life? Like, just look at your life and go, do I choose to look at my cell phone again? No, that's just a habit. That's just ingrained because I'm caught up in what society says. I'm looking for likes. Oh, shit. Okay, I'm not going to choose that. Do I choose to drink this Pepsi? I don't know. I've been shown a lot of commercials over my lifetime. I don't know if I necessarily chose this Pepsi. Like, I chose it, but was I conscious? Right? So as soon as you do that, you now have lots of choices. And the world opens up. Life looks a little different. So that's one. Two is focus on the three G's. Gratitude, giving, and personal growth. If you really just the first two, if you focus on being grateful for what is, for what you do have, because happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. It's a byproduct, a spiritual experience. It comes from practicing an attitude of gratitude, right? So you drop into that, and then you focus on how you can serve your friends, your family, yourself, the planet, etc. Just look for ways, and the best gift you could ever give anybody, this will change your business, this will change your life, the best gift you could give anybody is the gift of your attention. Just start listening. Just start listening to people and being there, you know?
Well, look, I mean, the wisdom that pours out of you, my man, is unlike any other. You know, anybody who chooses now to kind of explore more about where they can learn about some of the events that you're doing in Australia, the Bridge Method, all these things that you're doing all around the world, no matter when they're listening to this, in 2 years' time or right here, right now. Where do they learn more about Preston Smiles? Where can they connect with you? Where can they go and support you? And where can they come and find that inspiration so that they can continue to make those choices for themselves?
For sure. Well, first, you can go to PrestonSmiles.com. That's super simple. We do lead workshops all over the world. We're about to be in Australia and New Zealand, and that's going to be pretty awesome. So that's TheBridgeExperience.com.
Nice.
Oh, actually, that's BridgeExperience.com, not the.
Okay.
BridgeExperience.com.
Yeah.
And then if you do want to jump in and do the 12-week online training program that we have, which is awesome. Alexi said it earlier. It's family.thebridgemethod.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much for instilling this wisdom. Thank you so much for inspiring. Thank you so much for choosing to love and be love and be love's voice because, man, I couldn't see you doing anything else. I don't even know what you would do if you weren't doing it. But the reality is, man, you are a world-class citizen at doing it. You are the top man for me. So thank you so much for being a part of that experience and continuing to fight that fight. And beyond fighting it, continuing to resonate and love and express that as clearly as it comes to you.
Absolutely, brother. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you guys. It's going down in a beautiful, major way.